We didn't check out.
It's all right.
It's just for the recording.
Yeah, that's all
right. Just talk nice and loud.
Chapter 5, How It Works. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to the simple program. Usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. There are such unfortunates. They are not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. There are those, too, who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. Our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. If you have decided that you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. At some of these we balked. We thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. With all the earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas, and the result was nil until we let go absolutely. Remember that we deal with alcohol, cunning, baffling, powerful. Without help, it is too much for us. But there is one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. Half measures availed us nothing. We stood at the turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. Step 1. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Step 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Step 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all of these defects of character. Step 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Step 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and become willing to make amends to them all. Step 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. Step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Many of us exclaimed, "What an order! I can't go through with it." Do not be discouraged. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We are not saints. The point is that we were willing to grow along spiritual lines. The principles we have set down are guides to progress. We claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. Our description of the alcoholic, the chapters of the agnostic, and our personal adventures before and after make clear 3 pertinent ideas. A, that we were alcoholic and could not manage our own lives. B, that probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism. And C, that God could and would if he were sought.
The format of this meeting is that we have 2 guest speakers sharing for 10 minutes each. We will then be selecting people from the room to share for 5 minutes each, concluding the meeting with a final 10-minute guest speaker. So we'll just have the 2. Speakers will get a 1-minute wrap-up card and a finish card. If you've already been asked to share at this convention, please decline to give others a chance. It doesn't count. The topic for this meeting is God-directed thinking. The reading comes from the big book Alcoholics Anonymous, pages 13 and 86.
Yeah, sure. On awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans for the day, and before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking. especially asking that be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. Under these conditions, we can employ our mental faculties with assurance. For after all, God gave us brains to use. Our thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when we thinking is cleared of wrong motives. Page 86. Okay, so we'd like to call the first speaker, Andy.
Morning everyone, my name's Angie, I'm a recovered alcoholic.
Hey Angie.
And first meeting of the Aussie Park Convention, woohoo! It's going to be an excellent weekend and, you know, that reading in the morning, on awakening, let's think about 24 hours ahead. I've been thinking about this 24 hours for months and months and months, so yeah, it's really excellent to actually for it to finally arrive. There was another part of that reading too that I don't think got read out. It was on page 13 you mentioned, and it's one of my favourite bits, and it says, we test our thinking by our newfound God consciousness within. Common sense would thus become uncommon sense. So every day I'm testing my thinking, and when those talked about self-pity and all those thoughts, dishonest, self-seeking thoughts come in, I catch my thinking like it says for me to test my thinking. And then I think about, well, my God consciousness, what is it that God would have me be? And I bring my thinking back into that way of thinking. And for me, the instructions in the big book are vital to my life. They've taken me out of, well, one, my alcoholism, but also two, my depression. And I suffered for 6 months just every morning just dreading the day, you know. And on awakening, I was not looking forward to the day at all. And I had someone take me back through the big book and exactly how the first 100 did it. And it instantly changed my thinking into a positive way of thinking. And that and all these instructions I try and do to the letter because my whole life depends on it. And I don't want to live miserable and sober because all the promises in the big book tell me how amazing life is sober and all these amazing things that are going to happen. And it has an instruction and then it'll say, but if you do this, well, then all these amazing things are going to happen. So, you know, and my thinking has completely changed from that depression thinking into I just wake up and I just look so forward to the day. And on awakening, and I've had to try to train my thinking that as soon as my eyes open, as soon as my mind starts stirring, it can be anywhere. It can be affected from a dream. It can be thinking about past stuff. It can be fearful of stuff in the future. And I bring it back to on awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. And that's how I sort of talk to myself. And for me, it's... the awakening stuff is vital. If I get my day set up well of a morning, my mind can then, it's like a snowball effect, it then goes on in that way of thinking. If my mind is all scattered of a morning and if I don't sit and do my prayer and meditation of a morning and if I don't thank God for how grateful I am to be sober and how awesome life is and a couple of pages before that, I think it's 85, it says we talk about... bringing God's vision into all of our activities. So for me, God is everything great, everything awesome, everything amazing, every amazing possibility that could happen. And I bring that way of thinking into all of my activities. So I think about my day at work and how awesome it's going to be. I bring the vision of God into that activity. I think about, rather than me, I always think about, oh, the boss is going to be in whatever mood and, you know, this is going bad, it's going to happen and all that stuff. My head is always on the negative, so I always bring it back to God's way of thinking, which is greatness. So I love it. It just changes. If I can envision that for the day, well, then it brings myself into that. And for me, the step two, like believing and power that it talks about in step two, that's been vital for my recovery. First of all, when the person took me through the book, I believed through their conviction of how it worked for them and how the program that the first 100 followed, how it worked for them and had been working for them for 40-something years, was enough for me to convince me that this could work for me too. Even though I had been sober, not drinking for a time, but I had this new sense of conviction that this program would work for me. Because it talks about depression in the big book as part of the alcoholism. And I knew it was part of my alcoholism, but I just couldn't get a sense of any clarity, clearness or help with it. And but it felt like I'd come out of a fog, and my thinking became so much clearer, and I realised how far down my head had gone. And it was feeling like I imagine what it would be like to be unconscious and to be brought back to life in that first big massive breath. Well, that's what it felt like for me. It's just like, oh my God, I'm alive. And it was like, thank God I'm alive. You know, I could really get a sense of, but I was almost dead because I wanted to take myself out, and I've been wanting that for months. So for me, the big book has been the biggest, the instructions in the big book, not just reading it but doing it, has been the most amazing things that's turned my whole life around in recovery. Because without a positive outlook that the book talks about, without that, it's like, well, what hope is there for me to want to stay sober? So, you know, on awakening, the reading talks about bringing myself into, always bringing myself into that way of thinking. So I'll just leave there because I'd rather hear other people. So thanks very much.
Call Hayley, please. We got up very, very early this morning to come and talk with us.
I don't do mornings very well. Good morning, my name's Hayley. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Hayley.
I even wrote notes. I've never written notes before, so I don't know how well this is going to go. This is just one of those wacky little indications of how this program works. God-directed thinking, and I got asked to speak on this. And I'm only new in sobriety. I think I celebrated about 14 months recently. And it's all going fine. You know, it's all going fine. And just a week and a half ago, I had what I would call a meltdown. And I had to look at things that I've learned in the program, like self-care, because I was never very good at that. And I had to actually remove myself from my place of work for a day because I knew that was the best thing to do, because stress would cause my anxiety and depression to go through the roof, and I couldn't guarantee my own actions, which was what I'm like drinking. So I took the day off, and luckily this program has taught me to call an older sober member. So I did that. I woke on awakening. I thought about my 24 hours, and I thought, right, you're going to have to put in some action. So I called my sponsor and had the guidance that I've relied on for the last 14 months and sort of took the time out. And now when I reflect back, I kind of look at this cycle of old behaviours and patterns, and it's so funny that the reading is page 13 because I've got it marked in my book here. That part that you read is the doubter's prayer, and the first thing on my list is self-doubt. You know, so that's where I start. I have no faith in myself, which leads to no self-worth, which leads to the fact that I can't make decisions for myself, which has been a standing joke in my family. Their faces would be like, oh, she's got to make a decision. So, and I'd ask everybody else's opinion because I had no self-doubt, but I'd ask the wrong people, but I'd listen because I didn't doubt, I didn't have faith in myself. And I look back now and I go, I was always willing, but to do the wrong things. And I was always open because I trusted everybody else, not myself, but that showed an enormous lack of boundaries. I always did what I thought I should be doing. So I listened to that bad advice and didn't know any better because my thinking can't be trusted. So I did what I thought I should be doing, and hello, resentment. So there you go. So that's the circle kind of thing. And then I'm back to the self-doubt. So kind of what this does for me is it sets me up for the day. You know, I love that page 86, you know, on awakening. Let us think about the 24 hours ahead. And it wasn't easy. I didn't get it to begin with. I was like, yeah, but they told me to be, you know, independent woman and stand up for yourself. And I was getting that will confused, and it was difficult. And I was in a big book study group, and one of the guys just said, Hayley, it's on page 86. He gave you brains to use. And I was like, oh, okay. I don't know if I was waiting for this, like, divine intervention or what I expected to happen, but I have to put the action in. And I've been sitting around drinking, miraculously waiting for things to happen for so long that putting the action in didn't come naturally. So I had to start working on these things. And it is, it's the little things. And when I first came in, I hated all of these. I was like, whatever. And I lived the first 8 months of my life going, do the next right thing, do the next right thing, do the next right thing. And I learned through reading the big book that the next right thing was in line with what God would want, or my understanding of a higher power. So I was like, okay. And the crux of it was that horrible day last week that I was going through was that I had self-doubt. I didn't think I was good enough. I didn't think I was worthy of having happiness and having all of what the book promises. But someone very important in my life said, well, do you think God thinks you're good enough? And I went, well, yeah, because I'm here and I'm trying to be useful and do the right thing and I'm living amends and yeah. So yeah, I have to take action and I have to put the stinking thinking out of my head and get up in the morning and do this stuff. You know, it doesn't come easy sometimes. But God damn it, the stupid benefits of it when I do it just make me go, oh, damn you, you know? It's like it shows me every time. And I heard it the other day, someone said, this program works in spite of myself. And sometimes I just go, why the fight? Why the fight? Where are you finding this from? Like, do you want to prove the book wrong? Because ultimately that means I'm sat alone in a dark place drinking myself to death. So what's the point of that? But I love going to that place. So I have to dig myself out of it and go, you know, you are worth it. And that 13 and 15 I read the other day too, it's gorgeous. It's really, really gorgeous. We commenced to make many fast friends and a fellowship has grown among us, of which it is a wonderful thing to feel a part. The joy of living we have, even under pressure and difficulty, I've seen hundreds of families set to their feet in the path that really goes somewhere. Have even some most seen the most impossible domestic situations righted, feuds of bitterness. Why would I not want that? Like, my brother hasn't spoken to me for over 18 months. Like, I want that, but yet I still fight it. So, yeah, I'm going to pull my head in, sit down and listen. Hope you all have a lovely weekend. Thank you.
Thanks, Hayley. Okay, so we'll start calling speakers to share on God-directed thinking or their own experience.
5 minutes.
For 5 minutes, okay. Wayne, would you like to start us off?
Hello, I'm Wayne. I'm an alcoholic. And I was just thinking, sitting there, of my first sponsor, how my thinking started. Poor, poor fella told me to give him a ring before I go to work. I had no idea. I had nothing to say to him. I used to start work at 5 and 6 o'clock in the morning. So I picked up the phone and gave him a ring at 4 o'clock in the morning. Didn't particularly appreciate that. But I said good day to him. And then I just went quiet. And then he said, how are you? I said, good, as you do. I think it was about 3 or 4 months sober. And he said, what's the weather like? So I walked out the front door. Nice. Came back in. But that was my start in God, conscious, getting God, God's conscious in my head. That man started planting the seed. And that was my very first start. Because I'm living by myself. I don't talk to people. I won't say, I couldn't read the big book, not for a couple of years. And I had to listen to people. So people gave me what I needed to think. These days it's a lot different. I know what when I'm doing well, I'm making the correct decision. I'm not always happy. I think if you're always happy, you've got a problem. Life's not happening. Life's, yeah, but the situations come up. When I deal with a situation, I know I'm either making a good decision or a bad decision. If I make a bad decision, I know I've made a bad decision or I've done something bad because resentment and all the rest of it returns to me and I've got to do something about it and go and do my prayers or go and talk to somebody or make apologies. And my conscious, yeah, today I'm up over the moon because of what's been happening with life. But that can change this afternoon. I know that. But my, what am I? Life's good. I can see the good side of it. And I'm happy this fellowship here. And God's a big part of my life. I like the term good orderly direction because if I'm going in the right direction, I usually get what I need and I become happy in my life. These steps are brilliant. I like the third edition stating that all we need is a desire to stop drinking. And the reason that is I came in here, I thought I failed everything in life, and that said to me I didn't have to grasp everything at once. I didn't have to grade myself against you people. I had to grade myself against mine, and it's progress, and I slowly walk up the ladder, and I hope to do that for the rest of my life in this place. But it's only for today, I know that. And it's a good day. Hopefully tonight I'll have a hot meal and clean sheets. Thank you.
Okay, my glasses aren't that great, but I'm just going to point at somebody. Mate, would you like to share in the cat?
Yeah.
Sorry, I can't see
you. Andrew. What's the better direction from?
God directed thinking.
Oh, yeah. I'm Simon. I'm an addict.
Hi, Simon.
I've just recently I've been trying to get into a rehab for quite some time, and now I'm in there, been there for 6 weeks, and never done much reading and writing before I got there. So, but they do hit you with a lot of paperwork and books to fill out. But me dad, before I went in, the old man gave me a Bible. And I just started reading my Bible, and it's just made so much sense to me, you know. I wish I'd been was reading it 30 years ago, because I've been an addict for 32 years. I don't even know how I'm still alive today.
Sorry.
Check. So it's been about 95 days now since I've had anything. And every time I've had like 3 bad days in the rehab, but it's learning to live with other people. And then I go back to my room, open that book. I like to call my big book the Bible, but it'll do me for now because it's working, you know. And I never believed in anything I couldn't see. And I have seen a lot of things driving trucks in the bush. I have seen a lot of things in the sky floating around. So the penny should have dropped back then. There is something else up there besides UFOs and stars, you know. So it's working for me, and I'm going to keep it that way. And whenever I have a bad day, I just say a prayer to myself. Whatever I need help with, I say it, and somehow things fall into place. I tell other people about it, and I don't know whether they roll their eyes or they just think he's whacked or something, but as I said, it's working for me, and I love that feeling. So, because everything up until I opened that book, my life was just spiralling out of control faster than anyone could imagine, you know. So, and it's good that everyone accepts like alcoholics or drug addicts or whatever, but they all seem to be under the same umbrella, and I feel very much at home coming to these meetings. Met some really good people at these meetings, and I'm going to keep coming back. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to more meetings, and thank you very much.
The woman at the back in the second seat, would you like to share?
Me?
Behind you.
She's just a visitor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The woman with the what? Yeah.
I'm sharing later on, so.
Okay.
I'm Shay. I'm an alcoholic.
The woman with the sunglasses on her head. Would you like to share?
Hi, my name's Abby. I'm an alcoholic. God-directed thinking. I guess I'm an alcoholic, so that means that, you know, I only have two choices. I have Abby-directed thinking or I have God-directed thinking. And, you know, Abby-directed thinking has caused me so much grief for so long. And it keeps me in a place where... you know, I'm not comfortable being who I am. I don't want you to know who I am, and it's very cold and isolated. And, you know, God-directed thinking frees me from that. It keeps me in a place where I feel okay to be who I am, and I feel okay with sharing that with other people. And, you know, that's the choice that I have to make every single day. And, you know, that I don't think that's ever going to change. You know, I'm going to wake up with that choice and have to put action in to go one way and not the other. And, you know, some days that can happen easily. Some days that doesn't happen real easily. But, you know, I've found that the minute I get honest about how I'm feeling, even if it's as simple as saying I'm not having a good day today, you know, I'm freeing myself up from, you know, wanting to hide, and, you know, that helps me heaps. And, you know, I know, that, yeah, I really only have two choices, and every time I'm blocked, from my higher power, you know, it's painful. It's a really, really painful place to be. And, you know, I just want to grow. I don't want to stay where I am. So, you know, I want to keep growing forward and moving forward. And, you know, I just want to keep working in this program because I know, you know, my life is fantastic today. You know, I'm actually really overwhelmed. I'm here this weekend with my mother, my partner and my sponsor all in the same room, and that is just absolutely mind-blowing that, you know, that I can have all these people that love me in the one space and who I love dearly, and, you know, and I know there's more out there for me, and that's just mind-blowing. So thank you for letting me share.
Lady over the right far corner with the sunglasses. Yes, would you like to share?
Okay, and I. That was lucky. Hey, I'm Tracy. I'm an alcoholic.
You're a star.
Doesn't scream at you or anything, does it?
No.
Okay. I'm Tracy. I'm an alcoholic. And this is completely weird at this time of the morning. God, what an amazing topic. I have never heard that topic before, you know, and I think it's amazing. And, you know, a lot of this thing is my thinking. It's my mental state. And, you know, AA provides me with a set of rules or tools or whatever to help change that. And, you know, I've got over 4 years up now, and in saying that, I've been around the rooms for about 18 years and had a few years up relapse, and it took me 8 years of coming in and out of the rooms to get it again. And and it came on the end of a coma and an acquired brain injury, and where my heart stopped, and they brought me back. So I came in this time and I had a bit of an understanding that something was looking after me. For anyone to be able to make it back into these rooms after, I think it was 14 years at that point, nearly die and then be brought back, that's like, you know, I'm here for a reason. I don't know what that is, but I'm here for a reason, and absolutely terrified that if I pick up, I won't get another chance so good. I've had a couple of them, you know, and that's only one of them, and it's got to run out at some point, you know. So for me, you know, I actually had a really intense week, feeling feelings and emotions around stuff that I've hidden my whole entire life, and it was intense. I was almost cycled material. That's how intense it was. That got triggered last Saturday. I'm standing here now talking about it, you know, that's recovery, that's God-centered thinking, that's, you know, the first thing I did was ring members, I was honest to everyone that I spoke to, told them what was going on, put one foot after the other, went to the next meeting, prayed my ass off, did all those things, and I'm sitting here this morning with a smile on my face. That's recovery. Once upon a time, I would have sat in that for weeks or months, or even, you know, yeah, months, maybe not years, but weeks or months. And it's good to remember this. You know, I get caught up in life. You know, I have a pretty intense job. I work with autism, and it can be quite challenging. And in that line of work, you know, there's never enough workers, so, and you can never do enough hours. So I have to be really careful with that stuff, and it can affect me. It really can affect me, and it takes me away from things that help me connect to my higher power if I let it. You know, meditation is a huge one for me. It has been my whole recovery. It was the one thing I did at the beginning of this recovery that I hadn't done in previous recoveries, and it connects me. It changes the way I think. It stops my thinking. It slows it down anyway, and if I maintain that, you know, I have that godlike thinking, and I'll sit down and listen. Thanks.
The guy with the at the back with the grey hoodie, would you like to share?
Well, I'm James, I'm an alcoholic. God. What was it again? God.
God directed thinking.
Okay, so I used to have, I used to think I had a sort of direction, you know, getting up and going to work and, you know, I had a routine going. You know, I'd be up from you know, 6 in the morning until 8 o'clock at night, and I had this really good direction, routine. And then when alcohol came into the equation, sort of, you know, and I sort of lost jobs and friendships and relationships and started isolating. I lost all that routine and direction. So I was sort of, you know, just drinking myself to death at stupid hours, hours of the day and the night, you know, waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning, start drinking and pass out by 9 o'clock in the morning, and then there was just no purpose of my life really. So I'm still sort of struggling with the concept of God a little bit, but it's sort of like God, the way I understand it. So I'm trying to, you know, and I'm actually in the rehab as well, same as Simon. So I walked in there. I was there last year, so it's the second go at doing this. I walked in there sort of waving the white flags this time. And that saying, you know, hand it all over to God, you know, because my way of thinking obviously hasn't done anything for me over the past 3 or 4 years. I don't really know what I'm saying. I think I'll just leave it at that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maury,
would
you like to share?
Oh, listen, thank
yeah,
you.
Listen,
my name
mate.
Is Maury, I'm an alcoholic.
Maury. Maury, would you like to have a go, mate?
This one?
Yes.
Yeah. I'll see where he doesn't shut up.
Thanks, mate.
G'day, Lee.
G'day, how are you?
Careful what you wish for. Yeah, g'day, I'm Lee and I'm an alcoholic addict. I'm very grateful to be clean and sober today and at my first convention. And just really looking forward to it as well. God's way of thinking, you know, like, I reckon about 2-3 weeks ago I wouldn't have even known what that meant. Because I've just realised, and it's sort of gradually come to me that all I thought was that everybody had their way of thinking, and that's just how everything worked. But I do realise today that my way of thinking has got me into, as I call it, Alcatraz or the Hilton on the Hill, and because I had a very, very selfish and self-obsessive way of thinking, and it was based on was whatever I could do to make me feel good, because as long as I can remember, I've lived in fear of everything. I just sort of had a black cloud hanging over my head for some reason, and that was just, you know, I blamed everything on God. As I heard it said a while back, I pinned God's fingerprints on everything that ever happened wrong to me, and framed him for everything, and I just thought that I was put on this earth to suffer, and And at some stage, maybe at the end of my life, I was going to find out why. But, you know, the first time I picked up, it was like all my dreams had come true, you know. Everything that I wanted to be and feel like came true with that, the effect that I got first time I picked up. And I thought I had a God-given gift that I could drink like the best of them. I had blokes twice my age falling over like nine pins, and I was patting myself on the back thinking, look at me go. But all that did was enable me to stay out there longer and longer and longer, and before I realised that, before I could hit my rock bottom. I thought I'd hit rock bottoms in the past. I'm 47 now. I spent my 18th in rehab. I spent my 21st in rehab. And I thought that, you know, I'd tell people I was actually sober for my 18th and 21st, but little did they know that I was in a place that I couldn't get out of. But I had a lot more yet to discover, and I just kept setting the bar lower and lower and lower every time. Every time I'd done the false apologies and you know, I'll never do that again, and I actually meant that. I really did mean that, as soon as people started forgiving me, you know, I've had the green light, keep going and doing it again. It's a very frustrating place when, you know, it gets you to the point where you just want to die. You just don't want to. I just didn't want to be here anymore. I was sick of hurting everyone, and I didn't really care what happened to me. But once it started affecting other people, my kids, my family, anybody that came into contact with me, I just wanted to die. I didn't want to be here anymore. But it's a lonely place to be when you can't even do that properly. You can't even kill yourself. And I felt like I was an old Valiant. I just couldn't die. But I was slowly dying inside, you know. Everything about me was just dying. And to be alive but being dead inside, it's just the worst feeling in the world. So I've also found God, and I was actually in a chapel yesterday, and I was obsessing over things I knew that had come out for me. I was obsessing over things like my sister's over from interstate, she's not coming to visit me. My brother's here, I've seen him three hours in 2 months. I've moved here from interstate. I don't know anyone except you people. And there's me thinking, how is everybody treating me this way? How dare they? But then I'm sitting in the back of the church, and you know what? I felt like standing at the back and just screaming my lungs out, going, yes, because I loved it. I felt joy. I don't know why, but it's because I've turned all that over. I've handed it over. That's just festering. That'll fester in me. And I've learnt, I'm touching on the third step at the moment, and it's hard, but I'll tell you what, with God's help and with you people in these rooms, this is a reality as can be, you know? Cheers.
Mickey, would you like to share?
Didn't realise it was you. I haven't got my glasses on. Hi.
Hi, thanks.
Bit of vanity there. Hi, I'm Mickey and I'm an alcoholic. Hey. Well, my God directed thinking was pretty much Mickey directed thinking this morning, and that was pretty evident in my driving up the highway and abusing someone going too slow. in a zone which was 80 and I was doing 100, and it was like, that was how my morning started, and that was because I didn't talk to my higher power this morning, which is something I normally do. I have sort of rituals that have changed over time, and I've been sober quite a while, and how I work my program with my higher power has changed, because my concept of my higher power changes. And today it's like most, I suppose, and that's been pretty constant, is that I cannot start my day without talking to my higher power. And it's always evident to me within the first 20 minutes, I guess, these days, that I haven't done that. And it was really interesting. I heard this guy talk probably about 20 years ago, and he was saying that he's not allowed out of his room until he's talked to his higher power. And I've kept that in my mind, you know, that if I haven't talked to my higher power, I have to go back to my room. And if I'm out, it's usually a loo. You know, I duck into a loo somewhere, or somewhere where I can sit quietly. Like when I was working, it was like I'd go into the loos at work or find a space, you know. And that you know, that prayer about, you know, upon awakening, I love. I think it's simple, it's easy. And I have that as my starting thing. And I have a couple of readers. I belong to a couple of fellowships. So I have a few different things that I read. And then usually in bed these days, I've just come out of a long period of physical recovery, and I've sort of had a lot of time to sit and talk to God or just be with God, which has been absolutely amazing for me to do that, you know, because I'm quite a doer. That's probably why I was, you know, haven't had the operation, because I'm just a go-go-go girl. And so I need to be directed in that, you know, that I have to stop, that I have to ease up, that I have to slow down these days. And that's really, really hard, you know, because then I loved what, you know, my daughter was saying about, you know, Abby's or God's will. And that's true for me. Thank you for that, darling. So your children teach you something when you get into recovery. And she's taught me heaps. So I remember that one. You know, it is true for me. It's either it is my thinking or it's God's thinking. And you know, just because you've been in recovery for a while doesn't mean jack shit, basically, as far as I'm concerned. You know, it's like a daily thing. And if I don't turn my will of my life over, it just doesn't happen, you know. And there's certain things that I have to do too. You know, I love the pause when agitated. I also have to do a lot of, you know, for me, it isn't just turning my will over in the morning to keep my thinking going. You know, I have to work this program. I have to do the steps. I have to, you know, I do steps in other fellowships as well. And a lot of the time, my dis-ease, there's stuff in there that they talk about, I think, also in the big book about root and branch. You know, I might get the branch business, but I don't get the root. So I don't sort of have, you know, I don't drill down and work out what it is, and my thinking can become distorted over and over again because of that stuff. So it's been really evident to me over the years that there's certain stuff that I have to do. Don't always do it willingly, but I love my life today. You know, I have the most amazing life, and I'm just really grateful that I do have it. You know, that my recovery took half the time that it was meant to take because I did what I was told to do, you know, and that's just absolutely amazing. You know, like I should be on a walking stick still, and that's in the corner. I just, you know, I don't have to use it anymore, and it's just amazing. I also just, you know, hung an exhibition last night, so it's just like, that's the fourth one since I've lived up here in 2 years. You know, I just feel God has given me so much. You know, it's just absolutely amazing. I have my sober daughter here and her partner, and it's bloody great. Thanks.
Thank you to our guest speakers and all who shared. Morning tea is at 10:30.
Yeah.
But the next meeting's at 9. So
no, 9:15.
9:15.
Yeah. So
There's.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so room one is the main room, so fruit foyer, big room over there. We've got the two alternatives, and in this room we have now had our how we establish a relationship with God, and that'll be starting at 9:15, and coffee's available, foyer callers from the foyer. Any problems, anybody with these, we're the committee members, we're here to help. Thanks heaps for coming.
Great. Please join us now.
Oh, yeah, I think that gets busy. To a God of your own understanding,
God, grant us serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Good.
see if we can get the mic over a little bit more, eh? Yeah. Just needs to come.
Yeah, just send them out. They're on the list. So you don't need a digital ticket. Just need to tell them no. And they'll pay for two tickets.
Just stand there and get it.